Well, thanks for clicking on the podcast here. This is Thad Huff at Open Life, and actually, I am in a makeshift studio right now. Actually, it's inside our minivan, because at the Huff home, there's one location that has silence. And hopefully it's inside this car unless I set off the alarm. But anyway, I am attempting to re-record a message that I spoke on Father's Day 2011 that did not record, but is concerning the subject of the fact that Open Life is all about being present in community. And so it's going to be more of a conversation, and but I'll walk through the content of it pretty much from what I did in the service. So we started with Acts 17, so I'm just going to dive in and go for it. Acts 17, 16 through 17 says this: while Paul was waiting for them, Silas and Timothy at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him as he saw that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons, and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. In the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. Isn't that amazing? That Paul was in community where things could just happen to be there. People could happen to be there. So much of what God has in store for us as believers in Jesus, his death, his resurrection, it comes when we're present so that we can engage those who just happen to be there. How many of your favorite memories in life are from moments that just happened versus moments that were planned? Or maybe it was something you planned, but something happened. And the part of the unplanned was what was actually the most engaging or ingrained in your memory. A couple of illustrations that pop into my mind are one of the Christmases we were heading down to my grandma and grandpa's in Longview. We lived in Rochester, Washington, and we were on our way to Longview. We had, in the midst of this A-Team series, as we're calling it, we had an A-Team van. It was this van with no windows. Kind of creepy, I know, but in the back it had no seats. It was just a beanbag chair. It was totally legal then. So we were hanging out in the back of the van, and all of a sudden my mom starts screaming, and my dad's hitting the brake, and so all of us kids who are doing something pop our heads up and look to see a car that had swerved into oncoming traffic. Somewhere in like the Castle Rock, it was somewhere past Chehalis before Castle Rock area. And this car had swerved through the mid lane into traffic and then tried to get back over into the correct lane, but actually went airborne, flipped upside down, and came to a halt on the right shoulder. And smoke was coming from it. So my dad, who was a physician's assistant in Vietnam, went into action mode. He immediately pulled over the van. He jumps out like a hero. And meanwhile, my mom is freaking us out. She's screaming, "No, it's going to blow. No, it's going to blow." And we were intensely in tune with this moment that just happened on our way to a Christmas meal. Now, good news is my dad did pull him out. And did not die in an explosion or anything, but he had three sons at that moment in a van that pretty much thought he was the coolest hero to people in the world, and that we should do the same if we ever had opportunity. I still think my dad's a stud. He's amazing, and I love him a lot. The other thing that pops into my mind of, as an illustration of a moment that just happened amongst planned moments, I guess you could say. We took a bunch of students on a missions tour, is what we called it. It was a trip from Washington down to San Francisco to serve at the San Francisco Rescue Mission. But along the way, we were going to stop at different locations and share our stories, just what was happening in our lives. And some of the young people, we had a bunch of students with us, prepared their story, like how they made their decision to choose Jesus and just what difference that's made in their life. Well, one of the stops was outside of Redding, California. It was a juvenile detention center there. It was a maximum security one because it was so far out in the middle of nowhere that the kids couldn't escape. And we'd been there a few different times with a few different groups before. And this was their final summer. They closed due to lack of funding and stuff. So they told us, you know, they had a number of kids there. If I remember right, they were in the 40s of young men, they gave us an opportunity to come and share our stories, but made it very clear that we could not share the name of Jesus. And so we could talk about a relationship we had that they need to have, and that, but we couldn't share specifically about Jesus. So we said okay, knowing that God could make something happen if we would just show up, if we would be present for that opportunity to happen. So sure enough, we show up at this juvenile detention center, check in with the powers that be, show up and go in and begin to share our story. One girl didn't want to share her story that day, and she was a little nervous. We had just confronted her about her attire before we walked in. She had some short shorts on, and we said, those need to be longer. You're going into an all-boys juvenile prison. So she changed reluctantly, didn't want to share her story, but when the moment came, she jumped up and said something that just made sense to kids and really challenged them. And she kind of crossed the line and said, God is real. You can feel him. And it was a powerful moment because unexpectedly, the man in charge, like the main dude there in charge that day, I don't know what his title was, steps up and says, it calls all these young men there to attention. They stand up and he says, I'm going to do something if it's okay. And he gives me a look and I'm like, here's the moment that's just going to happen. He looks over and says, these guys have a message to share that they were told they could not share, but you need to hear it. So I am now going to go above and beyond anything that is required of you. I'm going to give you a chance to leave if you do not want to hear what they have to share. It's your choice. We cannot require you to stay here. So do I make myself clear? If you do not want to stay, you're not mandated to stay. And he gives them an opportunity to leave, and only four young men leave. And he instructs the rest of them that these guys are going to pray with you and talk with you one-on-one and share with you the message that they truly have to share. And we had an opportunity to unleash all of our students to share one-on-one the gospel with all these young men, to pray with them. And one of those four young men that exited the building came back in and made a decision to follow Jesus that day. And it was pretty stinking powerful moment that was planned but unplanned. You see, what could just happen if a church would find its people more about being present in community than being set apart from it? What, you know, we can't know what will happen if we are present until our presence allows something to happen. Our presence actually creates opportunities. And so I have three keys, ultimately, that we can pull not only from this Acts passage, but that are in other passages throughout Scripture that I think will help us to grasp. They're actually three P's to help it kind of be tangible and that we can remember it. And the first P is presence. It's His presence. Exodus 33, 14 through 17 reads like this. The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing you have asked, because I'm pleased with you, and I know you by name." From the beginning, God has been trying to lead us into culture to redeem mankind. Our faith was never intended to be something that is contained within a building or weekend slot, but something that illuminates God's love and presence in the world. God's way ahead of us. We might dress the same, hang out in the same gathering spaces, have the same friends, but the presence of God should be our distinguishing factor. Jesus said the same thing after telling his disciples to go and share the gospel. He said, "Surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." And I just want to pause here for a second and hone in on this reality of verse 16 in Exodus 33, that what else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth. The reality of us walking out the faith, being present in community, doesn't mean that we have to look different, talk different, act different. It's not the external things that will set us apart. It's the presence of God. It's His presence that will set us apart. So we don't have to externally be subculture-ish, if you will, in unrelevant in a way that we can say, "Well, I'm a Christian, so I behave like this because I'm a Christian." No, we can actually be engaged in culture, represent God, be normal, but have a distinct, distinguishable presence of God in our life. We don't engage life alone. This should give us courage and boldness. When our alarm goes off, when our alarm sounds in the morning, we should know His presence is going to go with us. We're not engaging life alone. The second key and the second P is right perspective. I said it again, you know, just a second ago, God's way ahead of us. He doesn't show up when we show up on the scene. He goes before us getting everything ready. The pressure is off of you. You're not the hero. You're the backup. Ephesians 2:10 says, "We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." God's the hero. The work, the hard labor's finished when we show up on the scene, because we best give praise to God for making things ready for us. While we're consumed with making Him look good, it's He who's making us look good by stacking the deck in our favor. Don't let your head get big and think that you're something special in the world, or you're God's gift to mankind. You're human like the rest of us. Created to do good works, not by your strength, so you can't boast, but on God's strength, according to His gift and power, so that He could get all the glory. Third P, prayer. In fact, the third key is Jesus, prayer. Jesus, in His final prayer before being crucified, John 17, 15 through 18, He prays this: "My prayer's not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They're not of the world, even as I'm not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I've sent them into the world." I think we'll constantly struggle with this tension between separating our behaviors out of obedience to Jesus' teachings and yet being present in our world in a way that allows us to redeem what is very familiar to our culture. Going back to our opening passage in Acts 17, Paul goes into a dialogue with the leaders beyond the passages we read. They invite him to share his perspective and thoughts with them about this Jesus and the resurrection he was teaching in the marketplace. And Paul shares cultural insights that connect with his audience that he had discovered while he was meeting people who just happened to be there. He began to share about their religious practices and their art. He used their own song lyrics to communicate the message of Jesus and made it much more relevant to them than it could have been otherwise. Are you relevant? Let me ask you this. Is your light on Halloween? Jesus prayed it would be here in John 17. Jesus uses all kinds of illustrations to challenge us. I mean, are you present in culture? Are you a part of the party? Jesus uses fishing illustrations because he was a fisherman, you know, in a fisherman culture. He was a carpenter, actually. In a fisherman's culture, he was often along the water, and stories of him sharing the gospel and having to get out into boats and just a lot of fishermen were present and they understood these illustrations. So he would tell them fishing illustrations and actually said to some that they would be fishers of men and help them capture in their mind a picture of what they're supposed to be doing to illustrate the gospel and all these things. Well, it's impossible if we're casting into the water with a hook from the shore, expecting a harvest. Really, we're just fishing. Jesus prays that that we would go out into the harvest, that we would have courage to go into the deep water, drop our nets, and bring in a harvest for his joy, that people would experience salvation in great number. When we're tempted to rest on the shore, we remember Jesus' prayer for us. Our mission at Open Life specifically, it's to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus, specifically the 80,000 people within our reach who don't actively engage faith. We cannot make this impact that God has called us to with the practice of casting a hook into the water from the shore. We have to get into our boats and find ourselves where the fish are, right in the center of culture. So you got these three P's: his presence, right perspective, and Jesus' prayer. And it lands us where we need to be to healthily approach our place, both as a church and individuals in our city and region. Here's the deal. You're called to be a lamp. If we will do this thing, this all in with Jesus thing, we can't help but become light and darkness. We become a lamp. We literally become illuminated because of our source for growth, the presence of God within us that distinguishes us. Jesus and the Word fans into flame our depth of relationship with God. Listen to these passages. Psalm 18:28. You, O Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. Psalm 119:105. Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light for my path. Job 29:3. When his lamp shone upon my head, and by his light I walked through darkness. John 5:35, John was a lamp that burned and gave light, and you chose for a time to enjoy his light. That was the light of repentance, preparing the way for Jesus. We're called to be a light, a lamp to our culture, not a light that is hidden, but one that is seen. And again, not a beacon of light, but a lamp that finds itself right in the center of culture, illuminating hope that we're for people, that we love people, illuminating the love of God. So what now? Where do you go as an individual, as a lamp, if you will? How should we move forward, both as a church to capture the intent of God for us corporately, but also as an individual that is present within the world? The first thing we need to do is show up. We've got to show up. If there's an event, a moment in our community when people are gathered, we should find a way to be there. As a church, we should have a booth. We should have amazing people that are, all of Open Life people are. We have the most amazing leaders ever, but people that would just hang out with other people and introduce them to who Open Life is. We should get creative and what would draw people to our booth. For Bonnie Lake Days, we're going to give away balloon animals to draw in families and kids and be generous and give to them, but at the same time, create an opportunity to have time to dialogue with them. Whether it's Bonnie Lake Days or Easter, out and stuffing eggs or helping kids have more fun on Easter morning, or whether it's Beautify Bonnie Lake or our annual baptism at the lake. See, even as a church, we have our staff meetings at Starbucks, and I think that's healthy. It gives us an opportunity to be out in community where something can happen upon us. As individuals, what are we doing to be in the world? Jesus is trying to send us into it to be present in community. So when we're in community, are we present? How about soccer? Are you on the phone, checking your email, head down, not even watching the game or dialoguing with other parents and players? Are you engaged in the moment you have there? Or are you distracted? Are you truly present? Facebook. Do you just read? Or do you interact? Do you have two-way interaction with people? Or do you just like how many friends you have? Spying, being creepy in their life. I don't know. Drive-through versus going in. I hold a conviction the moment we chose to start Open Life that if I had any chance at all, I was going to go in versus go through the drive-through. What could happen in line? What could happen in a personal interaction inside that, you know, if I'm driving through, I've got one person I may talk to, but what could God do if I would just go in? How about doing the game at home on the couch or the game at Hop Jack's or Midtown Grill? What could happen if we're engaged in community and watching the game with others? Who could we meet? What could God do? Moms, when you're taking the kids to the park, are you in a book or are you engaged with the kids? And even more so, do you strike up a dialogue with the other moms that are there? Do you use the opportunities God's given you this window of time in your life? See, the church is a collection of individuals. If you don't show up when we target showing up, then the church really isn't there. It's just a remnant. What is the church? What if the church would show up? What would be possible? The second thing that really we should do is recognize opportunities. If God's preparing works in advance for us to do, we need to recognize them when they happen to be there. How about we try on this passage for size? Colossians 4, 2 through 6 says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I'm in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Catch this, verse 5. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Faith opens your eyes to see the potential to serve a God who is already at work on your behalf, to make the most of the opportunity, to make the most of the opportunity with outsiders. Are you ready for opportunity? And then finally, create margin. And this is probably the hardest thing. This is the most challenging thing for sure. Where is the space in your life to allow you to stop and help someone in need? Sometimes we can't see the opportunities because we have to have on blinders in order to accomplish all we've committed ourselves or our kids or our families to. We are out of balance by our own choosing. Stephen Furtick says in his book, Sun Stand Still, are there subtle tweaks you can make in your everyday interactions and activities that will give God some room to move in a miraculous way? Make room and get ready. Can we make room? Do you find time to be present in the life of your kids as fathers? How about you take some time and read to them, eat with them, play a game with them? Do you have time to be present in community, or is it just too much to ask for you to sign up and make our city a better place to do life? God never intended for you to warm seats on a Sunday morning. He wants you to go out there into the marketplace every day, engage life with a mission to tell people about Jesus through your example, through your joy, through your witness to whoever, during your commute, on your lunch break, after the meetings have ended. Small talk begins. People happen to be there, and God happens to use you. I'll make you a promise. Here's a promise from Open Life. We will never promote to you anything we consider a waste of your time or something that will close the margin in your life. We're a simple church model: services, serving, and groups. We want to make sure you never find yourself so busy with church that you miss being in your neighborhood culture, that your light's off on Halloween. Who in their right mind would light a lamp and put it under a bowl? Well, we don't want the church to become the bowl to the fire that's within your soul. So get out there, light the way for a generation that is seeking hope to be present in their life. You carry hope with you. You show up and make sense of the leading God already started doing before you got there. Let's show up. See what happens to be there. God, I pray for those listening to this. I pray for those that are considering the reality of a culture of being present in community. And I pray that you would stir deeply in each one of us. That God, even as I sit here in this car recording this talk, you would supernaturally reach through this podcast and inspire someone to change the way they're doing their faith, from casting to getting into the deep water and dropping their nets, from being a beacon shining into people's eyes from the sideline to being a lamp right in the center of culture that people can't help but hover around to illuminate the way. Jesus, I pray that you would use us. Let us see the works you're preparing in advance for us to do. Let us show up. Let us just discipline ourselves to say, I will be there. Show up in culture and in people's lives so that you can lead us to make a great difference. In Jesus' name, amen.